Hello, you're listening to Philosophiraga, the acting out, daytime drinking problem child of the Mage Cast family. It's a production of The Well-Read Mage, and to find out more about what that means and how you can support the show, please do stick around until the credits. I know everyone, like, doesn't listen to credits, but these are good credits. Listen to these credits. Okay, on with the show. Bye! Remember last time on Philosophiraga? You should. You should go and listen to last time on Philosophiraga. I'm not going to recap it, that seems weird. Last time on Philosophiraga, anyway, we talked about what it means to be a good person. But this episode, and the next one, we'll be looking at how to do the right thing. You know when you make a decision in a Telltale game and it's like, Kenny will remember that? Or you kill someone affiliated with a particular faction in a Fallout game, and it comes up with this little message telling you that someone or a group of someones don't like what you've just done. Well, in games, as in life, actions have consequences. Sometimes those are far-reaching and unexpected ones. I think it's not uncommon to think about consequences or outcomes when we're trying to work out the right thing to do. Last episode we were talking about virtue ethics, which basically says that the right thing to do is whatever a good person would do in that situation. Super helpful. This time, you might be pleased to hear, we're looking at a theory of morality that has a pretty clear-cut method for working out what you should and shouldn't do. Let's think about Bioshock for a minute, because it's a show about games and philosophy, so of course we were going to get to Bioshock at some point, and frankly I'm amazed it's taken a whole two episodes for it to come up. Bioshock has a lot to say about a lot of things, but we're keeping it real simple for now and just thinking about one situation that the game raises. You play as a guy called Jack, although I don't think his name actually comes up in the game, and throughout the events of the story you encounter young girls called Little Sisters, who just happen to be hosts for sea slugs that can give you superpowers. I'm deliberately oversimplifying here, so bear with. If you can get hold of a little sister, you'll have a choice. Kill them, which gets you the most sea slug juice and therefore the most superpowers, or save them by removing the slug, from which you can get a little bit of juice but not quite as much. There are 21 little sisters in the first Bioshock game, each of which can either be killed or saved. Now, first things first, obviously killing little girls is bad, right? We can agree on that? Let's just agree on that right now. The thing is, the eventual climax of Bioshock involves you fighting a really highly superpowered dude who's planning to extend his reach from underwater dystopian rapture up into the surface, where he's going to do a bunch of evil stuff and everything will be really bad, and a lot of people are probably going to die as a direct result. You've got to beat this guy, right? You need to, otherwise really bad things will happen. Let's say, just for the sake of kind of simplifying this down a little bit, that you can't beat him unless you have the maximum superpowers, which means you've killed as many of the little girls as possible. If we look at the maths, as it were, then in the simplest version of the equation, what you've got here is the prospect of taking 20-ish lives, or thousands or millions of people dying as a direct result of you not doing that. Now, of course, the equation that Bioshock presents is not this simplest version that I just described, and actually this is a point where I take an issue with Bioshock. In the game, saving little sisters might mean you don't immediately have as much super juice, but what you do get are rewards from a lady who's really happy that the little girls are still alive, go figure. And those rewards might actually be more useful than the extra juice you'd have got from being all murdery. To me, this means that the moral dilemma Bioshock is trying to present isn't actually as much of a problem, because there's way less incentive to kill the little sisters when you're going to get just as much reward, if not more, if you don't murder them. And that's cool, but it's also less interesting. I think the more interesting quandary is more like the one I've just boiled it down to. If, all else being equal, there weren't really any gameplay benefits for saving the little sisters, then killing them would be a definite considerable advantage. So let's look at that sort of bare bones equation again. On the one hand, you can take 21 or so lives, little girl lives in case that's relevant. On the other, loss of many, many more lives. Just mathematically speaking, it sounds as if the answer's obvious, right? 20 deaths? Or millions of deaths? This is now starting to look like a version of one of the most famous thought experiments in modern philosophy. It's one that's so well known it got an entire episode of The Good Place dedicated to it. I was incredibly happy about that, in the sort of way that only a nerd who suffered through studying this kind of thing can be, when pop culture not only acknowledges what you've studied, but also makes a bunch of people think that actually it's kind of a cool thing to be thinking about after all. Originally, when a philosopher called Philippa Foote first described this in its best-known form back in the late 60s, this was called the trolley problem, although these days the image is usually of a train or something more modern. Unless trolley means train already to you, which it might do if you're American, I can't tell. I don't know. Anyway, the problem goes something like this. You're standing next to a button, and the button controls some train tracks in front of you. there's an out-of-control train hurtling down the tracks, and the tracks are currently arranged so that it's going to hit 5 people. Those people are tied up or otherwise unable to move themselves off the track, and if it hits them, it's going to kill them. So if you do nothing, 5 people die. Horribly, as well. I mean, it's gross, can you imagine? Ugh. However, pressing the button in front of you would move the tracks, so the train goes off in a different direction. It avoids those 5 people. On that track, there's only 1 person who'd be killed. So if you act, a single person dies. Again, horribly. But it's basic maths again, right? I mean, it seems like it. Death's bad, we agree, so 1 death is less bad than 5 deaths. That means what we should do is take action. Divert the train so it kills 1 person instead of 5. Sorted. Well, maybe not quite. The factor that complicates things is you have to act to get the better outcome. You're killing someone if you press that button, not just allowing people to die. And it feels as if there's a meaningful difference there, or at least I'm assuming it probably would to you if you were in that situation. To take it back to virtue ethics, like we talked about last time, perhaps a virtue ethicist would say that being the type of person who kills is worse than being the type of person who allows people to die through inaction. So the right thing to do is let things go as they are and watch 5 people explode into little gross chunks. Someone who thinks about consequences, though, would say that the consequences of you letting 5 people die are way worse than the consequences of you killing 1 person. 5 times worse, in fact, it's easy. This mathematical approach to working out the right thing to do is called utilitarianism, when it's not just being called consequentialism. Another word for it, if you like fancy Greek words, is teleology, which basically just means consequentialism again. Side note, by the way, philosophers actually do mean slightly different things when they use each of these words, so they're not quite interchangeable. Utilitarianism is a form of consequentialism, might be the more accurate thing to say. But we're trying to keep things as simple as possible for the purposes of Philosophiraga, so roll with it. Roll with it like a train rolls, into 5 hapless people. Utilitarianism is often associated with a guy called John Stuart Mill, or JS for short. A chap called Jeremy Bentham did develop maybe the first mainstream iteration of the concept not long before Mill, but JS Mill is the one most people probably think of. Mill's idea revolved around the concept of pleasure as being desirable, and pain or suffering as being undesirable, and therefore you go from there to deciding that the right thing to do in any situation is the one that maximises pleasure and minimises suffering. Now, when Bentham was first talking about this, what he basically did was put out a blanket statement saying, utility is the measure of virtue. What he meant by that is, utility is kind of something that can be used or applied in every situation, and therefore the most virtuous course of action is something you can universalize. For him, you can universalize the idea that pleasure's good and pain's bad, so just do the most good and the least bad. Voila, universal. What Bentham didn't do, though, was distinguish between kinds of pleasure, and this opened him up to a lot of criticism about his idea, which came to be called utilitarianism because of the whole utility thing. It seemed like it was a purely hedonistic worldview, where if someone could get the most pleasure just by pigging out, being super lazy, eating a ton, then that was the morally right thing for them to do. Mill refines it a bit by introducing the idea that there are different sorts of pleasure, and some of them are better than others. Anyway, in the trolley problem, it's pretty clear that the maximising pleasure, minimising suffering equation involves ensuring that only 1 person dies, not 5. It's kind of clear cut. In Bioshock, killing 20 little girls to save the world might be a price worth paying if you're a utilitarian. Again, of course, the game doesn't actually, like, put you through that test, and I will forever think it was a coward for doing so. I think a good way to test moral theories is just to think about their implications and see how we as humans instinctively react to them. So let's try out a couple of variations of the trolley problem and see how we feel about them. Let's shake it up a bit though, just to make the image a bit more interesting. Instead of a train, which is like a normal boring real life thing, let's say that the prince from Katamari Damacy is rolling his giant ball down the track. He gets to a downhill incline and loses control of the ball, which starts rolling off and he can't stop it. It's going to hit 5 people unless you do something. Now, instead of you being stood there with a button to press, let's say this time you're on a bridge overlooking the scene and King Hippo from Punch-Out is stood next to you. You know King Hippo, the absolutely giant dude whose pants fall down when you hit him? That guy. Now, the Katamari is going to roll under you before it hits the 5 hapless people, and King Hippo is really leaning on the rails there. He's a heavy guy, but I don't know, you've got a power suit on or something. The point is, you could definitely tip him over the edge, and you know he's bulky enough to stop the raging Katamari. He'll be crushed to death, but he'll slow it down enough that it's not going to hit those 5 people and kill them. Your choice now, then, is let the ball roll under the bridge, kill those 5 people, or, you know, absorb them into a giant ball or whatever, let's just say it's unpleasant, or push King Hippo off the bridge, stopping the ball but killing him. It's still the same equation, it's still one life versus five, but doesn't it feel like it makes a difference when your role is more active than just pushing a button? Of course, maybe King Hippo is the one who put those five people there. Then maybe it seems not only reasonable, but morally justified, or even an imperative you should use this guy to block the Katamari's path and save their lives. Yet, ultimately, it's all still just a question of one life or five, so it should be pretty simple for the utilitarian to come up with an answer. I mean, maybe knowing what the right thing to do and being able to do it are two different things, but the point is that the important question for a utilitarian should be what the consequences of their action are going to be and what that means in terms of the pleasure-pain equation. Maybe you also consider the suffering that you'll experience psychologically as a result of pushing King Hippo to his untimely demise, but I don't think that's likely to outweigh five actual deaths. Utilitarianism is impartial. Your own pleasure isn't any more important than anyone else's, although there is an argument to be made that you have to prioritise your own pleasure at least a little bit or you won't be in much of a state to help other people. I've actually just realised that this is a really bad example because a Katamari in motion tends to remain in motion, so it can't be stopped and all that would happen is it would merrily roll over King Hippo, absorb him, get bigger, keep going and quite happily squish the five people as well. So you haven't actually achieved anything here. Whoops. Another game that I always thought was a fun exploration of utilitarianism is Shadow of the Colossus, believe it or not. Again, I'm absolutely astonished it's taken two entire episodes to get to Shadow of the Colossus. See, the moral thought experiments usually associated with utilitarianism are questions like, is it worth taking one life to save five? Whereas Shadow of the Colossus flips that on its head and asks whether it's worth taking 16 lives to save just one. It makes it so painfully clear that no, it is not worth it, and that you, the player, and Wanda, the protagonist, are just making such a monumentally bad decision. There's a virtue ethics element there too, in the irreparable damage that evil acts do to Wanda's body and soul, and you can see him deteriorating throughout the game. Arguably, of course, there are never any actual bad consequences when doing murder and whatnot in video games on account of them not being real, but eh. We'll actually take a bit of a look next episode at whether that even matters. So, what does utilitarianism have going for it? Well, it's got pretty rigid criteria for how you should work out what's good and bad, which means you should be able to just apply a simple calculation to any situation and know the right thing to do. It also feels kind of intuitive, at a glance. Bringing the most happiness and the least bad to the world doesn't seem like a bad goal. On the flip side, actually doing that calculation accurately is kind of a tall order, plus there's the question about whether you should prioritise the average level of happiness enjoyed by all people, or the total happiness in the world. If you're talking about the total happiness, then you can justify things like a majority of people abusing the minority terribly, as long as the pleasure derived by the majority outweighs the pain suffered by the minority. If you're talking about the average, then you might be able to conclude that anyone who isn't sufficiently happy ought to be killed so that the average goes up. I never said moral philosophy was easy. If you find the idea of killing the few to save the many difficult to grasp, then the theory we're looking at in the next episode might appeal to you a little bit better. It's still about knowing the right thing to do in a particular situation as opposed to what kind of person you are, but it takes a slightly different perspective that maybe will be more appealing. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and if you've enjoyed the show so far, or indeed if you think there are things I could be doing better because I am very, very new to this, then please do let me know. You can find me on Twitter, at Overthinkery1, lurking on reddit.com/r/thewellreddit page, or in the comments section on thewellreadmage.com. The question I want to leave you with this time, which you can discuss with me and the rest of the community in all of those places and more, is this. Are an action's consequences the best way to decide what to do? Or is there something about the action itself that lets you know whether it's right or wrong, some quality? We'll come to that again next time. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Philosophiraga, the video game and philosophy podcast. It's written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Durston, with invaluable help from consulting producer Moses Norton. All the music here is by me, and the show's logo is by Moses Norton with graphic design from By Wisdom Designs. This show is part of the Magecast family, so if you enjoy listening to in-depth discussion about games, then my sister podcasts Magecast and Sidequests are definitely for you, and you should go listen to every episode right now. The Well-Read Mage's dream of a better future for gaming discussion and community is made possible by your support, and I literally wouldn't be able to do this show without your support, so please do give Philosophiraga a like, follow, review, or share. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your domesticated cow. And if you consider supporting us with a monthly pledge of any amount at patreon.com/thewellreadmage, I will personally plant an oak tree, wait many decades for the tree to grow, carve your name into the tree, take a picture of the tree, share the picture on social media, uproot the tree, bring the tree to you, gift you the tree with your name on, plant another tree where the first tree was so as to ensure no net loss of trees, leave a comment on the now wildly popular social media post with the picture of the tree, revealing your address so everyone will come to you and seek your wisdom. This particular flame is turning to embers for now, but the fire of wisdom never dies. Bye!